This is John Gramstrand, and I'm a certified energy specialist for CHS Ag Services in Stephen, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Thursday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Randy Conan, along with Sierra Doctor. The Supreme Court has upheld Proposition 12 in California's Proposition 12 on a vote of 5-4, which will set new animal welfare standards for meat sold in California. The Supreme Court's decision came in a split opinion after pork producers argued that the law places excessive burden on interstate commerce.
North Dakota Farm Bureau President Darrell Lease is disappointed in the Supreme Court's decision on Proposition 12.
Well, it's a disappointing day coming out of the Supreme Court with their ruling that upholds California's Proposition 12, which puts restrictions on the sale of pork products and how they're raised if they're going to be sold in California. So we still believe it's an infraction of the Commerce Clause of the Constitution. I think the Supreme Court got this wrong. It's disappointing that one state can dictate how the rest of the nation is going to raise the food.
Lease doesn't think this decision is dead quite yet.
I would imagine the attorneys are going to really dissect the opinion to see if there was something that wasn't argued correctly and see if there's another angle to bring this at. The issue is not dead, I don't think. But, you know, American Farm Bureau, who we're affiliated with, was part of this, National Pork Producers. Those folks are, you know, probably still digesting the decision themselves here. And where we go, who knows? But all I do know is if we start allowing states like this to dictate across the nation how food is produced, we can look at a drastic increase in the cost of food for our United States people.
Concern is rising among lawmakers that the debt limit debate could derail a farm bill agreement before it expires. President Biden has invited Senate Ag Committee Chair Debbie Stabenow, House Ag Committee Chair Glenn G.T. Thompson, and Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack and others to attend a meeting at the White House that is said to be a general overview of the farm bill negotiations.
The U.S. House held a subcommittee hearing on stakeholder perspectives on agriculture trade today. National Pork Producers Council Lori Stevermer testified at the hearing. Stevermer, who operates a pork operation near Easton, Minnesota, wants to maintain pork export success.
Trade is critical to the U.S. pork industry. Last year, we exported nearly $7.7 billion worth of pork, and those exports supported 155,000 mostly rural U.S. jobs and added $14.5 billion to the country's GDP. More importantly, exports equated to about $61 per head, and about 25% of our pork is exported. The U.S. pork industry, like a lot of industries, has gone through some tough times over the past several years, but exports continue to be a bright spot for producers.
Aimpoint Research Vice President of Global Situational Awareness and Chief Economist Greg Dowd says the pace of technology is a challenge in world trade.
The challenge will be how our customers and their governments accept and adapt to these new technologies. We must not allow the recalcitrance of a few to inhibit the way forward. The U.S. will never apologize for pursuing new technologies in agriculture. The U.S. private sector spent $12.3 billion pursuing new innovation and technology in ag in 2021 and $10.6 billion last year. My most pressing concern, however, is getting our government and other governments around the world to approve these technologies so these innovations, which improve the environment, safety, and nutrition of the food we produce for consumers everywhere, can be commercialized.
61 organizations have sent a letter to the leadership of both congressional ag committees in response to opposition of the Opportunities for Fairness in Farming that OFF Act would reform checkoff programs. Independent Beef Association of North Dakota President Frank Tomac says the checkoff needs to be more transparent with beef producers.
We're asking Congress to look into how commodity checkoff dollars are spent, who utilizes them, and if they're being abused. There's some organizations that are opposed to the OFF Act, and those organizations are the ones that are actually receiving the benefits of the OFF Act. They're taking the checkoff dollars and using them to promote our products. but we feel that they're abusing them. And they don't want the checkoffs, and we do. We want this OFF Act to be enacted, so there's a better transparency of where our checkoff dollars are going.
Tomac says the average cow-calf producer isn't seeing a return from checkoff dollars.
Well, I think everybody should pay for promotion of their product. And so does IBAN. IBAN believes in paying for the promotion of our product. But we're not seeing the benefits. You know, the cow-calf producer are paying all of the checkoff dollars, and the return on investment is not coming back to the cow-calf producers. It's staying with the packers. What we would like is for the checkoff dollars to be collected by one agency and to be spent by an organization that's not a political organization, such as the NCBA or the American Sheep Industry or somebody like that.
Looking ahead to the May 22nd deadline, Minnesota Farmers Union Government Affairs Director Stu Laurie says there are several pieces of legislation they are continuing to monitor as they move through conference committee.
Today, we expect the Environment Conference Committee to meet and to adopt a final deal on some policy provisions, some finance pieces as well that will be important to farmers. There's potential money for voluntary soil health practices in that environmental budget. There's also a program that Farmers Union has worked really hard to create that would incent Minnesota fertilizer production using renewable energy and hydrogen, building off of a pilot that was started at the University of Minnesota Morris. So
the environmental bill also includes provisions pertaining to a drainage portal, treated seed regulation, and wolf hunting in Minnesota. Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Thursday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. U.S. Treasury Department's Office of Investment Securities proposing a rule that would require foreign entities to garner U.S. government approval before they are able to purchase land within 100 miles of 8 military bases. North Dakota Senator Kevin Cramer supports the news, which could have blocked the North Dakota land sale to the Fufang Group.
AgMarket.net market analyst Jacob Burke says the grain markets are seeing some follow-through selling from position squaring and risk-off type trade.
This is just one of those negative days that you see a lot of risk-off piling in here a little bit. There's some spread action going on, I feel like, in the wheat market, and all of a sudden you're looking at expectations of a report that could have some. Right now, there's finding a buyer in this marketplace is hard to do.
The cattle market is quiet, and the lean hogs are stabilizing.
I think that the feeder cattle are seeing a little bit of gain here today, based off the anticipated continuation of lower feed cost. Whether you go back and look at what the soybean meal has done over the last few days, it hasn't caught a bit either. And so in your hog markets, well, the one thing that we've been kind of watching as far as the catching a falling knife, and we've seen about 3 or 4 days of stability here, I think that's something as you go into this major part of the grilling season that product has got to do something on the cash side.
Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting President Mike Zuzulo thinks poor demand is also pressuring the grains rather than position squaring.
I think the dismal weekly export sales kind of combined, with the exception of the soy meal, and I think that's where your turn in the beans has been founded from, is the meal trade coming back around, Randy. But I think the weekly export sales being pretty dismal, coupled with another set of economic indicators from China overnight showing that they are, in fact, moving towards deflation, not inflation. Their domestic demand is just not recovering to the levels that the trade and the financial markets were wanting them to after their COVID policies. And so I think you've got an extra amount of liquidation pressure going on here in the grains and earlier in the soybean complex.
The lean hog market seems to be supporting the cattle market.
Hogs are trying to hold on to some gains this week, and I think that's underpinned us when it comes to the fat cattle. Feeder cattle are enjoying another big bite into buy feeder, sell corn. We're back to above 232 in the GM feeders, back above 233 in the November feeders. That's kind of the red zone for me to get some hedges in place in those back-end feeder cattle markets. But I think the feeders are enjoying some relief from drought as well. Less feeders likely to be placed as the drought goes away in states like Nebraska and also South Dakota.
USDA's weekly export sales report for the week ending May 4th shows net old and new crop corn export sales of 340,000 metric tons. That's well above last week's net cancellations and nearly unchanged from the four-week average. Net soybean sales of 112,000 metric tons are 68% less than the previous week and 63% less than the four-week average. Net wheat sales of 360,000 metric tons are 26% less than the previous week and 6% more than the four-week average.
Water levels on the Mississippi River are going down. According to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, or NOAA, river levels at Winona, Minnesota, Dubuque, Iowa, and Rock Island, Illinois are on the gradual decline. Water levels at St. Louis and Hannibal, Missouri are only seeing a very slight decline. The locks on the upper Mississippi River have been closed due to higher water levels and are scheduled to reopen later this week.
In NDSU's weekly crop and pest report, Extension agronomist Hans Kandel outlined potential issues with delayed planting in pulse crops, including field peas and canola. Later planting dates could mean less yield.
The later we plant, the more likely it is that we are hitting some higher temperatures during the flowering period. So based on some of the data that I've been looking at, it shows that when we delay planting, we will have a lower yield potential. It doesn't mean that we can't get good yields, but whenever we delay planting for the small or the field pea or the canola, we see that there is likely going to be a lower yield potential. Therefore, it is very important that as soon as the field conditions are ready, I would advise that we try to put the field peas and the canola in as soon as possible.
This is the Red River Farm Network.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Pasture and range conditions improving across the U.S. since last year, but conditions remain poor across the plains. According to USDA, Kansas has set records for some of the worst conditions in history. USDA's first look at the pasture and range condition showed 33% rated good to excellent, while 37% rated poor to very poor.
Weeds like water hemp are already emerging with the warming temperatures across the region. University of Minnesota Extension weed control specialist Dr. Devlin Sarangi says sprayers should follow immediately after planters.
We are rushing for soybean and corn planting, but weeds are also rushing to come up. And as I recommend every year that your sprayer should follow your planter. Don't be too behind and then you cannot catch up anymore. So the pre-emergence should be down and it should be within 3 days of the crop planting. That's what we say, because most of the pre-emergence should be down before your crop emerges. And with the soil moisture and warm days, the soybean and corn will be up soon.
Sarangi recommends putting pre-applications down to control areas where water hemp is known.
It is better to put those pre-emergence down. And I talked about water hemp today. So water hemp, like it can emerge throughout the season. It's not like the emergence is done. It's just started. And it will keep emerging throughout the season. So it is better that we put some pre's down so that we can control some of the early emerging cohorts of water hemp and some other weeds like lamb squatters. And then maybe we have to come back with post-emergence in the future.
Checking markets before we leave you. Wheat at all three exchanges trading 14 to 14 and a half lower. Corn 8 to 12 lower. Soybeans unchanged to 5 and 3 quarter lower. Canola's down $7.80 a metric ton. June cattle unchanged. August down 22 cents. The May feeder cattle down 70 cents. August is up 97 cents. June hogs down 12. July hogs down 80 cents. Thanks for joining us. Have a good afternoon. This is the Red River Farm Network.